Proverbs chapter 15. And last week we went through chapter 14. And the title of the message was, Keep Your House. And we're not talking about a physical house, we're talking about your family. The house that you build up. The house that shares your last name. Your house needs to be built by God for God. You know, if the Lord does not build the house, it builds it in vain. So, we talked about in verses 1 through 4 about building your house with hope. Folks, there's not a lot of hope out there right now outside these walls. And we need to build our house with the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of Christ. And with honor, we need to do the right thing. With humility, it's not in our own strength, but God's going to help us to build our house. And also with help. Because it says, when there's no ox, the crib is clean. We need help. And God gives us resources. He gives us His grace to do those things. We need to build your house. Then we need to build our testimony. We need to build our testimony with truth. There is no other way that you can have a good testimony for God unless it's based on truth. And then with understanding, with the right company, and then also with prudence and discretion. Then, in verses 11 through 14, you need to keep. Once you start building, you need to keep what you got so you don't give it up. So you don't give it up. So keep a spiritual house. There's a benefit for being righteous. There's also a consequence for being wicked. And then also the wrong way, you have lack of joy. You have a lack of belief because of lack of true fulfillment. The only way that you could have a fulfilled life is to know God. And to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and accept Him as your Savior. So you need to keep a spiritual house. Then you need to keep a spiritual testimony by being cautious. Don't believe everything you hear. The internet, everything you see on the internet is not truth. It's not on Facebook either. Okay? Real truth is here. That's why I don't have Facebook. Okay? By being cautious, listen to what you hear. Understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Base everything against the prism of God's Word. Right. And then by goodness, okay? By goodness. And then I just double-copied that. But that's okay, because that's what it was. Empty, extra slide, okay? Then there were three spiritual encouragements there. Keep up the good work. You know what we need to do in our church is encourage one another. You know, Janet said it right a couple weeks ago. Yes, let's understand and praise God for what good has happened instead of dealing on the negative. You know, we're all too easy to pick about, well, you need to do it this way, you can do it better. But the issue is we need to encourage one another. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Don't be like what Paul wrote and said, these two dudes made their faith shipwreck. By fearing God, by being a blessing, and by choosing to be spiritual. And then stay holy. It breaks my heart to hear people talk about what they do when they're Christians. There are things that you wouldn't even consider doing. And what language they use, and where they go, and who they associate with. Folks, we need to stay holy. We need to be separate and touch not the unclean thing. We're losing that today. Amen. We're losing it. We need to stay holy in our actions. We need to stay holy in our heart. We need to stay holy in result. Because if you've got right actions and right heart, you're going to get a right result. Tonight, though, I want to talk about something that influences all of our lives. It's about our attitude and about our respect for people. And for you know, if you don't have any respect for your boss, you'll be a poor worker. If you don't have a respect for your kids, you'll be a poor parent. Kids, if you don't have respect for your parents, you'll be an unruly child. I hear that, big issue in the news about the Conway family. And her 15-year-old daughter wants to be emancipated because she doesn't want to think like her parents. Okay? You can't be in the military and go through all the hardships unless you have an attitude of patriotism. And when you have the proper attitude, we would not even consider doing wrong or doing ill against our parents or against our boss or against our country. And we see all that's gone shipwreck right now. We see all that. It's basically what Romans chapter 1 talks about and 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about. We're in the last days. Christ is coming back. He could come back tonight. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Amen. Jesus. So tonight, I want to talk about principles of respecting God. Principles of respecting God. Because if we truly respect God, it will change our actions, our attitudes, our speech, all those things. And we'll see this in chapter 15. All these chapters, from 10 to basically 21, talks about the contrast between righteousness and wickedness. And there should be a contrast. The two are diametrically opposed. There is no gray area. There is no gray area. So I want us to think about this. Our respect for God as a believer, our respect for God should be evident in all areas of our lives. You say, well, I've heard the same thing over and over again. You can never get tired of God's Word. And God's Word keeps on saying these principles over and over again. Why? Because they're important to God. And if they are important to God, they should be important to us. And if they're not important to us, it will be evident in the way we live. So we're going to look at principles of respecting God. I want to start each section with another passage not in Proverbs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. But here's Paul's attitude. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you, what? Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross is important. The cross, it is the bedrock truth that we have our faith on. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He had a lot of enemies. But, he said, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, Paul goes on and writes to another mentoree of his, Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 8, he's talking about what young men should be. And you know, it is not an issue of chronological age. It's an issue of being strong in the faith. It says, sound speech that cannot be what? Condemned. That cannot be condemned. That he that is on the contrary part, there's people on the other side. There's people that don't listen to, don't believe what you say. Don't say what you say. So people on the contrary part may be what? Ashamed. Not ridiculed. Basically find out you got something that they need and they don't know it. They don't have it and they know it. That's what we should do. We should be salt and light of the earth, having no evil thing to say of you. So when people saw Christ, he spoke great things. They tried to say things about him that were lies. And Pilate says, I found what? No fault in him. The Pharisees couldn't find fault with him. Christ lived his life blameless. Blameless. And we should live our lives blameless too. So the first point tonight is that we need to speak out of respect for the Lord. And we know what all those caps mean. That means Yahweh. That means the high name that God gave to the Jew, to the Hebrews for him. So, the first thing is, we need to speak like Christ. In verses 1 and 2, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Christ's testimony, yes, he did call them out. But at the same time, he gave grace to the sinner. And he gave forgiveness. And he didn't ridicule them and judge them unless they were not doing the truth. He gave a soft answer. When he was beguiled, he had no guile in his mouth. He did not beguile again. But what? Grievous words stir up anger. Okay, so now we have some issues in the church or divisions in the church. I guarantee you they come from this point. Someone's putting out grievous words. Someone. Anyone could do it. Anyone could do it. And it's because we're not doing soft answers and we're not turning away wrath. You allow wrath to come into the body, and this is what happens. The tongue of the wise. Now, when we speak, we should let him speak as the what? The oracles of God. Which means we need to know what God's word says, and we need to have our speech always what? Seasoned with grace. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You don't use the Bible to beat people down. You use the Bible to encourage them to do right. Get out of the legalism thing of I'm more spiritual than you. No, you need to use knowledge. If you have true respect for God, you'll use His truth in the right way. You'll give a soft answer. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the what? Mouth of fool poureth out foolishness. And turn on the news and see that. I mean, it doesn't take long. And you sit there and go, what? You go, what? Because see, if you're speaking knowledge and you're doing it right, then people will listen to you. But if you're just spewing off everything that just comes in your mind, it's never going to work. That was not the way of Christ. Christ spoke truth. Christ spoke what his Father told him to speak. And folks, we need to speak with our language controlled and constrained by the respect of God. Secondly, we need to understand, the Bible says, but we're going to have to give account of every idle word. But verse 3 in Proverbs chapter 15, God is watching. God is watching. Now, when we were kids, we didn't think our parents were watching. We'd go what? We'd go out and do something. Most of the times you got caught. But I guarantee you, with God, 100% of the time you're going to get caught. He's watching. And so what we say, God is watching. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord, once again, all caps, okay, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And if you know that God is watching you and you have true respect for God, how would you act? You wouldn't disappoint Him. So our speech needs to be like Christ. We need to understand that God is watching. Third, it shows spiritual life. In verses 4 through 6, it says, a wholesome tongue. You know, we're on the big health kick about everything's a wholesome food. You know, something you need to eat. Okay? A wholesome tongue is a what? Tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. See, you say that you're a Christian and you say these perverse things. There's a hole in your spirit. There's a problem in your life. It doesn't reveal what truly should be in your heart. It does reveal what's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth speaketh. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. We can put that into a spiritual thing. We can despise our Heavenly Father's instruction. What does a parent want their kids to do? Succeed. Succeed. But if you don't listen to it, if you don't listen to some constructive criticism, no one's going to tell me how to do it. You have that kind of attitude, you're doomed for failure. And that's not the way Christ was. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that what? Regardeth reproof is prudent. Cautious, learning, doing the right thing. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Now, we're not talking about worldly things here. We're talking about spiritual riches. Okay? We're talking about spiritual riches. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, 26, talking about Moses. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had what? Respect for unto the recompense of the reward. So to speak out of respect for God, you need to speak like Christ. You need to speak as if God is watching and hanging on every word you say, because He is. And then it shows your spiritual life. And then you need to have what you speak for, because you influence others. Everybody's listening. You don't think they are, but they are. But they are. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 7. Angie was telling me today, she's doing this virtual learning, and she's teaching her child, and in the background, she's hearing everything the mom is saying on the phone in her business stuff. People overhear it. It says, the lips of the wise, what? Disperse knowledge. What does that mean? Gives it out. So even the way we should speak is that even if people overhear us, they'll be edified. They say, wow, that's pretty good stuff. But the heart of the foolish, what? Doesn't do that. Next. Speak out of respect for the Lord to please God. What is our purpose on earth? To glorify God. Okay? How do we do that? Through faith. Because Hebrews 11, for without faith is in what? Impossible to please Him. In verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer, that's us talking to God, of the upright is His delight. So see, we need to understand, if we have respect for God in the way we speak, we'll speak like Christ. We'll comprehend that God is watching. It shows our spiritual life. Others will hear it and they won't be what? They'll want to listen to it. And then the other thing is that it will please God. Your speech shows your attitude towards God. Your speech told your attitude towards God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The second point here is that we need to walk out of respect for the Lord. We need to walk out of respect for the Lord. In verses 9 through 12, we're seeing this contrast in this one. The first one is about the walk of the wicked. In verse 9, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Okay? So, when you don't do the right thing, how does God feel about that? See, if we understand how God feels, it should change our attitude. But he loveth him that what? Followeth after righteousness. Next, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. Why? Because I can't do what I want to do anymore. You mean I got to do it your way? I don't want to do it that way. And grievous the forsaken of the way, and he that hateth reproof shall what? Die. We've seen in the first section about taking reproof and taking instruction and doing the right thing. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. God sees it all. God sees it all. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? God is God. He sees the big stuff and he sees the small stuff. And for you in here and for you out there, he knows what eternity destiny you're on right now. He knows. He's God. Do you know what eternity destiny you're on right now? There's only one of two ways, up or down. And Jesus even talked about it. Christ preached more on hell than he did on heaven. You know why? Because he doesn't want anybody to go there. A scorner, someone who despises stuff, loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. They just won't listen. That's wickedness. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth will convict them of that what they're doing is wrong and they would have to change it. They don't want to change. So, if you have no respect for God, you're not going to do anything for him. If you have no respect for God, it doesn't matter what label you put on yourself, you will not follow him. Secondly, the walk of the righteous. In verses 13 through 17, a merry heart. Now, what does God give us? He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He says, my joy will remain in you. Your joy will be full. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If you look like a prune, that's how your heart is. If you're looking angry all the time, then you have an angry heart. A merry heart maketh a what? Cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now there is times to be in sorrow. But it should not be such a sorrow that you lose hope. Even in sorrow, there is still hope. And there's no... It's not like I... It's too overwhelming for me. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh what? Knowledge. If you don't study God's Word, you're not doing this. Because it says, if you have a heart of him that understandeth, we understand salvation, we understand that God's will and God's purpose for our life, then that means that we should seek knowledge. And if you're not seeking to be more like him and know more like him, then you're not doing this. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All, how many, how much? All the days of the afflicted are evil. Because they're bringing it on themselves. I just got finished with the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, it's just constantly talking, all this, and basically he would go and he would tell the king, he would tell the priest, hey, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, leave the city, fall on their mercy, and you'll live. But all the prophets said, it won't happen. And the other one said, why do you proclaim falsely for the Lord? We know God's truth. They had no clue what God's truth was. Because they knew God's truth, they would have repented. All the days of the afflicted are evil. They were running out of food, and they still thought they were all right with God. But he that is of a merry heart hath a what? Continual feast. No, we say, feasting on the riches of his grace. In my heart there what? Rings a melody. Better is little. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and what? Trouble therewith. Because if you have money, everybody else wants it. Isn't that true? People you don't know want it. The government wants it. Everybody wants it. Okay? What did Paul say? He says, I've learned whatever state I am therewith to be what? Content. Better is a dinner of herbs, where love is, than a stalled ox in hatred thereof. Now that's a contrast, isn't it? It would be better to eat herbs than to go out and deal with an animal that doesn't want to be changed. Okay? And oh, by the way, where love is. You know, this is where you might get that thing, well, you can live on love. You know, maybe. You can live on the love of God. So we see the walk of the wicked, we see the walk of the righteous, and now we see the contrast between the two. So the next two verses basically bring out the contrast. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger, oh, by the way, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay, so here we go back to this. But he that is slow to anger, what? Appeaseth strife. He can get beyond the emotions of it and get down to the problem that's involved and give you a solution. The way of a slothful man is a hedge of thorns. Now, everybody walking through the fields and you get into a thorn bush or something like that, that's not very pleasant. But that is the way of the slothful man, okay? But the way of the righteous is made plain. You know, if you decided, I'm going to surrender to God, and I'm going to do an attitude of living my life for Him, God's going to make your way straight. He's going to shed light on it. He's going to lead you. He's going to be with you. And you know exactly where it is. And when you get off, He says, this is the way. You'll hear a voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. So we need to walk out of respect for the Lord. We see the consequences of walking in the wicked way. We also see the reward of walking in the spiritual way and the contrast between the two. As Job is agonizing over his lament and his trouble that he has. In Job 28:28, it says, and unto man, this is God talking, this is Job talking about what God has revealed to him. He says, but unto man he say, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Solomon comes to the same conclusion in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Here's a conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Fear God. Okay? That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So, if you're out there doing the wrong thing, you don't have understanding. I didn't say it. God's Word said it. So what we need to understand is we need to use wisdom out of respect for the Lord. Wisdom's impact. In verses 20 through 21, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. There'll be harmony in the house. Folly is joy to him that is what? Destitute. That's a big word for having nothing. Absolutely lacking. Absolutely wanting. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Because he walks out of respect for God. He speaks out of respect for God. So we see wisdom's impact. Wisdom's result. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I wish Solomon's son had learned that lesson. He had counselors. He had good ones and bad ones. He couldn't tell the difference. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know, have you ever gone and you come up and you started giving some advice, and that person stops you and says, you know, that's exactly what I needed here today. That's exactly what I needed. Folks, if we follow God the way we're going to say those things. And people's ears are, oh yes, that's exactly what I want to hear. It's what I need to hear. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. See, we're caught between a choice of going up or a choice of going down. And our walk and our speech and the way we use wisdom reveals the path that we're on. So we need to use wisdom out of respect for the Lord. In Haggai 1, verses 5 through 7. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord. So Haggai was after they came back out of captivity. And said, hey, didn't God bring you out of captivity to build the temple? Why are you doing nothing? Okay? That's the setting here. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Ye have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You go find toilet paper and you can't find any. Okay? He clothe you, but there is none warm. Okay? And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. So Haggai said, it's not working out for you, is it? The more you work, the less you get. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Don't keep on going down the same path. If you get going down the same path, you're going to get the what? Same result. If you want a different result in your life, you have to take a different path. Consider your ways. So, not just speak out of respect for God, not just walk out of respect for God, not just use wisdom out of respect to God, but consider out of respect to God. You know those what would Jesus do bracelets? What was the intent of that? So you would, oh, it would be a reminder of what would Jesus do. That would cause you to act different. Remember what they told, God told the nation of Israel, said they'll be frontless to your eyes. So you'll look straight on, and when you look straight on, you'll see God's Word. Folks, how we live our life, we should consider God's Word. We should consider God's Word in light of the end result. In verse 25, it says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. See, he says, I'll be a father to the fatherless. I'll be a comfort to the widows. That's what true religion is about, right? Okay? The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Now, what would that motivate you to do? Not be proud. So if you consider how you react to people, are you doing it in a humble manner, speaking like Christ, or are you doing it in a proud manner? We ought to consider how we work and how we talk and how we do things out of what the end result will be. We need to consider what we do and how we say and how we live in light of the Lord's reaction. In verse 26, it says, the thoughts. Now, we're just not talking about the actions of the wicked. We're talking about the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are what? Pleasant words. So there is consideration on looking at the end of this. There's consideration on looking at how God reacts to what we do. And then in light of the present. See, yes, for those who know God, your eternity is secure. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you home. But how are you living now? Because of that hope. Because of that hope. See, if we're living the right way out of respect for God, then verse 27 and 28, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall what? Live. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. The heart of the righteous. And now it gets right down into what this really is all about. It's about the heart. The heart of the righteous studieth. Study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that should not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't do that. You got to work at it. That's why Christ used parables about it. It's like a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. Hid treasure in a field. And when someone discovered, he sells all his, goes by the field. Or he finds a pearl, great price, or has to dig it out. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out what? Evil things. Why? Because that's the fruit of a wicked heart, is wickedness. The fruit of a righteous heart is righteousness. So we need to consider out of the prayer. How's your life going today? Do you have a good attitude towards God or bad attitude towards God? I guarantee you have a bad attitude towards God and you're a Christian, your day's not going very well. But if you have a bright attitude towards God, your day's going better even when things aren't going the way that you want them to. So we need to consider out of respect for the Lord, in light of the end result, okay, in light of his reaction, and in light of the present that we're living in right now. And then, in light of God's presence. You know, some people go on, they live as if God's not watching and God's not here. He says, lo, I am with you always until even to the ends of the world. Verse 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Call on the name of the Lord. Seek ye while he is what? Near. So we need to consider out of respect of the Lord. We need to use wisdom out of respect for the Lord. We need to walk out of respect for the Lord. We need to speak out of respect for the Lord. And lastly, in Colossians 2:10, it says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We need to be complete out of respect for the Lord. In verses 31 to 33, we need to have the proper perspective. My desire is for everyone that's in here and everyone that's listening that you have a Christian worldview. You see today's events and the issues that are going on in the world today in light of God's Word. You'll react differently to it. It will cause you to do different things differently. In Proverbs 30 to 31, it says, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." So you need to see with God's eyes. You need to do with what God's given you, and then you need to hear what God's saying. And then lastly, we need to be complete in purpose. We sing the song, "I surrender all." But is that true? We sing the song, "Is your all on the altar?" But is that true? He wants all of us. That's what being a disciple of Christ, a true disciple of Christ, is all about. In verses 32 to 33, it says, "He that refuseth destruction despiseth his own soul." But he that heareth reproof, what? Getteth understanding. And remember, we've gone through all sorts of verses that says, "With all thy getting, get understanding." That's the good stuff, and also the stuff that we need to change. Because as we're living out respect for God, we're going to find areas in our life that doesn't quite line up with what God wants us to do, and we're going to have to change. Because His goal in your life is to be conformed to His image. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord. It closes with this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." And before God can honor you, you have to have humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you or lift you up in due time. So, do we speak out of respect for God? Do we walk out of respect for God? Do we use wisdom out of respect for God? Do we consider our actions in light of what God wants us to do? And then, are we complete in Him? It's the same message that we've seen in 14 and 13 and 12 and 11. And we should get it. We know the history that His son didn't get it. And look at what it cost Him. But look at the benefits of getting it. Look at the benefits of allowing our respect for God to change us from the inside out. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask be a time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to respect You, to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, I pray that You just be with this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight I just ask that this would be the night that they would ask for forgiveness of sins and accept Your free gift of salvation. Father, for us, Lord, as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, to change our attitude towards You. Help us, Lord, to walk and speak and use wisdom, Lord, and consider our ways in light of Your love and respect for You, and that You make us complete. Father, I pray that You be with time and invitation. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.